You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Before I begin this week's episode, a quick explainer that I probably could have had on episode one, but we were still trying to wrap our heads around things ourselves. The reason this podcast exists is because I recently left my day job in an honest-to-goodness local newsroom, which was already having trouble staffing protest events, in part because they're becoming so commonplace, but also because all local newsrooms are understaffed these days. If you've paid any attention to the media landscape over the past 20 years, that won't be a surprise. Newsrooms right now are having trouble keeping up with the fire hose of policy changes and executive orders, period. They don't have much staffing to attend every protest that pops up. So, Tales of the Resistance aims to help amplify stories you might not otherwise hear about. Now let's get to it. Small business optimism. During President Donald Trump's recent State of the Union address to Congress, Democratic Rep. Al Green of Texas wasn't having it. When Trump claimed he had a mandate from voters, Green interrupted, shouting, "You don't have a mandate." House Speaker Mike Johnson tried to keep order, but Green kept going, eventually getting removed from the chamber.
Members are directed to uphold and maintain decorum in the House and to cease any further disruptions. That's your warning.
Later, Green defended his outburst, saying he was protesting proposed Medicaid cuts that would hurt low-income Americans and questioning Trump's claim of a mandate, especially given the narrow margin of his victory. His protest was just one part of a larger Democratic pushback that night. Some lawmakers held silent demonstrations and displayed signs. Some walked out after Green was removed, and others didn't attend Trump's address at all. The next day, the House voted to censure Green for his actions. But during the censure hearing, Green didn't back down. Instead, he stood with over 20 of his colleagues and sang the civil rights anthem, "We Shall Overcome," in a show of defiance as Speaker Johnson struggled to restore order.
The House had come to order. The House had come to order.
The song "We Shall Overcome" has historical significance and is associated with the civil rights movement of the 1960s. Meow! That's the word the Instagram account Cats on a Couch is asking its followers to use to troll J.D. Vance. The account says it was first started as a petty joke, trying to gain more followers than Vice President Vance, but they've since expanded to target all of Vance's accounts, both business and personal, while also, quote, "fighting fascism, racism, and inequality," end quote. To do that, they are encouraging followers to comment meow on Vance's posts, because, of course. Cats on a Couch also posts photos of feline friends whose owners are shaking up the political scene. As of Monday, March 10th, the account has 544,000 followers. Speaking of the alleged couch aficionado, VP Vance had protesters outside of his East Walnut Hills home last weekend. A group of pro-Ukrainian demonstrators gathered Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the bottom of a hill not far from Vance's home to lodge their objections to the way Vance belittled and bullied Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in the White House a couple of weeks ago. The Cincinnati Enquirer reported that protesters held signs saying, "J.D. Vance, Ukraine's kids are way more scared than yours," and "Have you no shame?" and "Ohio supports Ukraine." Now, Vance said he was followed by these protesters while walking around his neighborhood with his three-year-old daughter, who he said grew, quote, "increasingly anxious and scared," end quote. While he posted on X that the resulting conversation was mostly respectful, he added that, quote, "If you're chasing a three-year-old as part of a political protest, you're a shit person," end quote. However, Vance's story doesn't line up with what demonstrators say happened. Ann Henry, who provided WCPO a video of the encounter, said she and her fellow protesters were not following Vance, but rather spotted him unexpectedly as they walked to take part in the protest some half mile away.
It must be nice to go through life and see that everybody who disagrees with you has no integrity. I have more respect for you. Ma'am, look at my 3-year-old daughter now. And I told you, I talked to you for 5 minutes.
Henry credited Vance for talking with protesters, though she took issue with him dismissing the group as being shit people, saying that no one had actively followed him, as he described. Federal employees of the U.S. African Development Foundation, USADF, temporarily blocked operatives from Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency from entering their offices March 6, resisting efforts to dismantle the agency. DOGE, the newly established federal department focused on eliminating what Musk calls wasteful bureaucracy, had been targeting USADF as part of a broader government streamlining initiative. About 30 USADF workers were in the building when DOGE operatives, described as young men wearing backpacks, arrived alongside DOGE Deputy Director Anthony Morocco. They sought to carry out firings under an executive order previously issued by former President Donald Trump. Though DOGE operatives later gained access, a federal judge issued a temporary restraining order halting their actions. USADF leadership has since filed a lawsuit arguing that only Congress has the authority to dissolve the agency. The standoff, led by one of the smallest federal agencies with only about 50 employees, has been hailed by Democrats as a significant act of resistance against Trump and Musk's efforts to overhaul the federal bureaucracy. One official said, quote, "This is the little agency that could," end quote. Protests at Tesla dealerships have continued with things getting so heated at a Manhattan location that the showroom had to be shut down. Hundreds gathered last Saturday chanting, "Fuck Elon Musk," and "Elon Musk is not elected." If you somehow forgot, Tesla's owned by Musk, who's been willy-nilly cutting federal jobs and getting mocked mercilessly on SNL by Mike Myers. Anyway, 6 people were arrested at the Manhattan dealership by NYPD officers as a crowd of onlookers cheered. Yahoo News reports that Tesla facilities and charging stations have increasingly become targets of protests as Musk has assumed more power in the Trump administration. Per the Washington Post, more than a dozen violent or destructive acts have been directed at Tesla facilities. We here at Grab Bag Collab neither condone nor celebrate acts of violence, but we will report on them. One woman in Loveland, Colorado is accused of spray painting "Nazi" in black under the dealership's entrance sign and igniting Molotov cocktails fashioned out of Smirnoff ice bottles near Tesla Cybertrucks. While individual acts of vandalism aren't likely to make much of a difference, the broader protests and general discontent just might. Tesla's stock has fallen by more than 35% since Trump's inauguration. And more protests, this time on International Women's Day. Thousands of people rallied last Saturday at various locations nationwide to protest President Trump on a day set aside to celebrate women. Various media reports estimated that 300 protests had been scheduled. 3 alone took place in Tucson. The New York Times reported that another protest at Washington Square Park in Manhattan attracted at least a few thousand demonstrators. 80-year-old Nancy Lewis and 26-year-old Lauren Yu were among demonstrators in New York City. Lewis had previously attended civil rights demonstrations in Selma, Alabama, while Yu was a newcomer to the protest life. Yu said, quote, "A lot of women are feeling like they are going back in time, so I feel like it's good to come out here and voice our concerns and stand with all women," end quote. Hey, and guess what? More protests, this time in response to the arrest of Mahmoud Khalil, a Palestinian activist and Columbia University graduate who was arrested by federal immigration agents last weekend. The president characterized it as the, quote, "first arrest of many to come," end quote, to which plenty of Americans are saying, maybe not. NBC News reported that Khalil was hauled away from his university apartment by Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents. When Khalil's attorney, Amy Greer, tried to find out why, she said ICE officials hung up on her. Khalil is here legally on a green card. His wife, who is 8 months pregnant, is a U.S. citizen. While Trump in social media posts has tried to paint Khalil and other student protesters as paid actors aligned with terrorist organizations, lots of folks are concerned he's violating their First Amendment rights. And so, the protests have begun. This has been Tales of the Resistance, a production of Grab Bag Collab. The show's reported and edited by Amanda Rossman and me. Amanda produces the show. Daisy Egan also edited this episode. Support Grab Bag Collab at patreon.com/grabbagcollab.